We're doing Gemara Megillah. We have 5 minutes. We're holding 5 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Meir, and whenever you have a quote Mishum, it means he didn't hear it directly from him, which is logical because Rabbi Meir was a disciple of Rabbi Akiva's, and Rabbi Yochanan lived over a century later. He was the one who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. Rabbi Meir still lived in just post-Temple times, right? You're talking about the time of Bar Kokhba, Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yochanan quotes Mishum in the name of, even though he probably didn't hear it directly, Rabbi Meir. Bnei ha'ir shalchu le'ir acheret. People live in one city, let's say they live in Jerusalem, and they go to another city, they go to Tzfat. Ufasku alehen tzedakah. They come to Tzfat, and in Tzfat, they decided they're taking a tax. Everyone's going to give charity today. So they tell him, guys, welcome from Jerusalem, you too. So he says, notnin. So they can't say, well, we're Jerusalemites, guys, leave us alone, leave us be. We don't have to pay the taxes in Tzfat. We're just visiting. We came here on vacation. Come on, you can't rent us a summer home and then expect us to pay taxes just because we came for a week. So if they don't give, everyone's going to look at them and say, oh, they don't give charity. So what they do is they give the guy who collects on behalf of the city. Once upon a time, when the cities used to collect tax, so the rabbis would sit down and gauge how much money do we need for charity. And based on that gauge, then they'd make a tax. And the tax also was a graduated income tax, meaning they'd factor how much is your income, how much are your expenses, how many kids do you have, what expenses do you have, what assets do you have, and then based on that, they'd make a tax. Sometimes the tax was a head tax, everyone gives X amount. There were different types of taxes. So the quote is that if you're visiting a city, so don't say I'm not giving any of the taxes, I'm not giving charity. You do give. And then, when it's time to leave the city, they take the money back, and they bring it back to their hometown, and then they use it to give the money to the poor of their own town. Meaning, on the one hand, we say, don't sit out. If everyone's giving 10 shekel to charity, and you're just visiting Tzfat, so you also give the collector 10 shekel, but tell him, hold on to my money, because when you leave Tzfat, if you're just there for a week, you don't have to participate in your taxes. When you leave, you'll take that money back, but at least this way, everyone knows you participated. You take it back, and when you come to your hometown, you'll give it to charity, to your own people. Tanya Namiyachi, we have a brisa like this. People from one city went to visit another city, and the tax collectors declared they have to partake of the charity, so they give. And then when they come back to their own home territory, they can demand it from the tax collector, and they bring it back with them. Now, that's a situation where you have a group of people from one city. You know, your whole shul went to Tzfat for a vacation, a weekend. And the people in Tzfat took advantage and said, you guys can come to Tzfat for vacation, you guys join us in our taxes. So you don't hold out, but you do take it back with you. But what happens if you're an individual? You went to visit Tzfat for Shabbos. And then they were collecting taxes, and they said, hey, you came here with a Rolls Royce. You can also partake of our 10 shekel tax to feed the poor. Then we say, you don't take your money back. You leave your money there. You were there, they decided you're supposed to partake of their taxes, so leave it for the poor of that city. Now, you'll notice that the Braisa added one thing, but the Braisa is different because beforehand there was a quote in the name of Rabbi Meir. It wasn't a quote in a Braisa. What's the difference whether I'm quoting Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Yochanan has a quote in his name, or a quote that's in a Braisa? So I could tell you, but the problem is that even though it's true, if you'll ever quote it, they'll tell you you're in error, because most people don't know this point.
What?
People will tell you are in error, because what I'm about to tell you, most people don't know. Rav Shri Raigon writes that when we have a quote from a Tana, someone who lived in Tanaic times, if it's quoted in a Mishnah or a Braisa, then Amoraim are reluctant. They wouldn't argue on it, ordinarily. And that's what most people know. Most people will tell you, and Amora will never argue on a Tana. But, says the Ramban, and he's basically basing it on Rav Shir Agon, but if you have a quote from a Tana, you have a quote from someone in Tanoic times, and it is not quoted in a Braisa, so then the quote isn't so validated. It's not like it's being validated in a Braisa. Then Amoraim are less reluctant. They might argue on it. Now, if you tell people that, they'll tell you, no, you didn't understand your rabbi right. That's not true. Amoraim never argued on Tanoim. It just doesn't work that way. Okay, there is a Kesef Mishnah. It is a Machlokas. There is such an opinion. And every kid, when he's in fifth grade, learns that Amoraim cannot argue on Tanoim. End of story. Because it's an oversimplified way of introducing a kid to how you learn Gemara. What does the Gemara do all the time? Quotes an opinion of an Amora, and then says, well, that can't be because you have a Mishnah against that. Well, why does the Mishnah overpower the Amora? Simple. An Amora can't argue on a Tana. Then everything's very easy. Every time you read a Gemara, it all makes sense, right? The Gemara keeps bringing proofs from Mishnayos and Braises against Amoraim, and the reason that's a good proof is because an Amora can't argue on a Tana. But the truth is, it's not so simple.
Can we just
Amoraim are people of the Gemaras, and Tanam are of the Mishnah. So, the only thing is that most people don't know that this opinion exists. Most people don't know. It's Nachmanides, it's Rav Shir Agon, it's a Kovetz Shiurim, Rav Hanan Wasserman. It's big people throughout the generations who went with this opinion, and even the Kesef Mishnah quotes this opinion, and he just doesn't go with it. So most people know the other way, and they've been learning that since they were in fifth grade, since they started learning Gemara. So if you tell them different, they're like, no, you're wrong. Believe me, it's not what your rabbi said. But okay, what can we do? Yeah, so here we had originally a quote in the name of Rabbi Meir, not in a Braisa form. So then it's a weaker quote, and Amoraim might argue on it. And then we had the same quote from a Braisa, and that's much stronger. In the Braisa, it was not quoted in the name of Rabbi Meir, but at least you have a braisa that says this halacha.
Why is the baraita stronger than that? Because I thought the baraita is something that was decided to be not included because it is not minority.
No. Okay, so braisa literally comes from the word bra. Bra means external. It is the Tanoic quotes that were left out of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes they're left out of the Mishnah because their concepts can be deduced from the Mishnah. You don't have to say every detail. Sometimes there were opinions that they didn't want to include in the Mishnah. There are different reasons why they weren't included in the Mishnah. Not necessarily because what they say is not in accordance with halacha, sometimes because they just wanted the Mishnah to be very distilled, and if you break your head enough over the Mishnah, you could figure that concept out without quoting it, and they wanted a very short version of Mishnah to encompass everything. A braisa underwent a certain quality control, mm-hmm. which quotes didn't. You know, anyone could quote. Braisas had quality control. So most braisas did not have enough quality control, and that's why Amoraim will sometimes say, Meshabeshtahi. That braisa is a misquote. That's not what it should say. So even though the Amora won't argue head-on with the braisa, but he'll argue with the quote of the braisa. When you have a braisa that begins with certain code words like Tanu Rabbanon is a code word for a braisa that was validated by the academy of Rabbi Chiya or Rav Oshaya. Mm-hmm. A braisa like that, no one argues with. Then you'll almost never find that the Gemara will say Mishabeshtahi, that's a misquote. That's why we have some braises that begin with Tanu Rabbanon, the rabbis taught. What does it mean the rabbis taught? And every other braisa wasn't taught by the rabbis. The other braises were also taught by the rabbis. But it means this is a validated braisa. This one, they sat down and they validated that it is a correct quote. They compared, they checked, they had good sources, and they also compared it with other quotes that they had.
So the braises were passed down orally? They didn't
correct.
Have, like, actual.
That's a good question. We're exactly at that point in our Meiri's class on Jewish history. It seems that people took some form of notes that were not published. There was some form of notes called Megillah Starim, the hidden scrolls. And what they were a form of notes. Really, the oral law had to remain oral. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there were new quotes that they didn't want to forget. So they'd write notes in shorthand, and they'd put them, they'd hide them, because you're not supposed to write down and publicize the oral law. Now, what exactly were these Megillah Starim? Were they a full redaction of the oral law, like some opinions of Rishonim? Or were they just footnotes of certain new things that they might forget? That's a Machlokas Rishonim. Some say that they each one actually wrote his version of the oral law, his version of Mishnah and Braisa. They had like full notes that they hid in a closet. They wouldn't publicize them because you're not supposed to publicize the oral law. The oral law has to remain oral, but they were their own notes. So that's a machlokes exactly what the Megillah Sturm was. Okay, we'll pick up here Bezat Shem on Monday night.